Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatia daf mem test. We are holding on daf mem ches amid beis, 8 lines from the end of the page at Lema Kitanoi. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, also by Dr. and Mrs. Noam Harpaz, Lili Nishmas, Noam's mother, Bella Bas Yitzchak Baruch, whose second yard site is today, the Nisham Shevin Aliyah, and also by our shul, Lezecher Nishmas, Mordechai David Ben Shmuel Chaim, our dear friend Dovi Herman, Zichrono Levracha, whose yard site was this week, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to discuss is that we were in the middle of a conversation about if part of the money has been paid, but not all of it. So do we assume that there was a kinyan keneged, the part of the money that has been paid? So the Gemara is going to suggest that that's a machlokas tanoim, and we're going to have two explanations of the machlokas tanoim we're going to quote, which is about Shemitah canceling a loan where there's a mashkon that corresponds to part of the money that is owed. So does Shemitah cancel a loan in such a case? We're going to have a machlokas about that, and we're going to have two understandings of that machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether a person is considered untrustworthy. He's considered mechusrei amana for being chozer on dvarim. But everyone agrees that if it's a matana muetas, and if it's something small, then for sure it's mechusrei amana because then the other party has a sense of smichas das. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to have a discussion. Let's say someone is chozer on a sale after the matan ma'os, after the money was already given, but before he had done the kinyan mashicha, so they're chozer on the sale, but he has not yet taken back his money. And then the money gets stolen, or the money gets lost, or the person was posheya. So what level of a shomer do we assume? The guy who received the money, the would-be mocher, who took the money but then backed out on the sale, what level of shomer is he on that money? To what degree of responsibility does he have for that money? The Gemara is then going to have two versions of a story regarding selling sesame seeds that may or may not relate to the level of shmira that one has on such money. Then the Gemara is going to have a case where the mocher can't be chozer after the nesinas ma'os because the concern of gezer shemenisfu chitach baliyah doesn't apply. That there's some case where even though all you did is you gave money, and normally we say once you gave money you can't be you can still be chozer because of the gezer shemenisfu chitach baliyah. There's one case where you can't be chozer. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to switch to a discussion of Ona'a. Ona'a means when something is mispriced. The Mishnah is going to have machlokas. How badly off does the price have to be in order for it to be a violation of Ona'a? And also a machlokas, how long the lokeach has before he can come back with the taina of Ona'a? 10 years later, he can come back and say, 10 years ago, you overcharged me? No, there's got to be some time frame where he can come back with the taina. What exactly is that time frame? The Gemara is going to discuss how do we measure Ona'a, meaning Ona'a is measured by a certain percentage of the sale. But what does that mean? Percentage of the actual value of the item sold, or percentage of the value that you paid of the item sold? So whatever fraction or percentage we use for Ona'a, we need to figure out fraction or percentage of what exactly? What's the baseline that we are looking at? And the Gemara is going to have three rayas to one opinion on in that machlokas. So let's begin 8 lines from the end of the page on daf mem chesam beis. So lema katanai, maybe the machlokas Rabin Rabbi Yochanan is already a machlokas tanaim. Hamalvas chaver al mashkon. A person lends money and he gives a mashkon. He receives a mashkon from the borrower. V'nichnasa shmita, and then the shmita year arrives. So normally the all loans would be canceled. But the halacha is that a malva al mashkon shmita does not cancel a loan. That's a malva al mashkon. This is a mishnah in the 10th parak of Masech Shviyas that someone's malva chaver al mashkon itzena meshamet, because since he's being tofes in the mashkon, it's not considered that he's no geis ba'achiv, that Shemitah's lo yigos, it's that you're not allowed to press him for payment, but he's not going to, has no need to press him if he's already holding something of value. So it's as if he already has the payment, and therefore the whole din of Shemitah's ksafim does not apply when you have a mashkon. mashkon. But over here, the chiddush is aval bishenu shave el plag. Even though the mashkon is only worth half of the value of the loan, eno mishamei. Shmita is not going to cancel that loan. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, im hayu mashkon keneged alvaso eno mishamei. Vein lav mishamei. No, if the mashkon is worth the entire value of the loan, then Shmita will not cancel the loan. But if it's not worth the entire value of the loan, then Shmita Taka will cancel such a loan. So the Gemara tries to understand what exactly does Rav Shmuel Gamliel mean when he says that Shmita is Eino Meshamek. Does it mean the Shmita doesn't cancel the loan at all, even the amount that's Keneged HaMashkon? Or no, it means that the Shmita doesn't cancel the loan, the part of the loan that's Keneged HaMashkon, but it does cancel the part of the loan that's Eino Keneged HaMashkon, that you don't have a Mashkon for. So what did Rav Shmuel Gamliel mean? And based on what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant, we'll be able to know what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi meant, because Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is obviously arguing on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it says, "My Eino Mishamit to come Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you have a mashkon worth half the amount of the loan, it's a $100 loan, I have a $50 mashkon. So what does he mean when he says the Shmita does not cancel the loan? If he means to say that the Shemitah won't cancel the $50 for which I have a mashkon, but it will cancel the other $50, well then, what's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi shita? Mechal, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi savar, lahach pal ganami mishamet. When Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says that the Shemitah is still going to cancel, sounds like it will cancel the whole thing. Even the half that I have a mashkon kenegdo, the Shemitah is going to cancel. El mashkon denakad lamali. So then what's the mashkon actually accomplishing? According to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, then the mashkon accomplishes absolutely nothing, because the Shemitah is going to cancel the entirety of the loan, even corresponding to what I have a mashkon for. Elalav shmamina. May eno mishamit to come Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mean when he says Shemitah is eno mishamit? Eino mishamet bekulo. It means that that even though the mashkon is only worth half of the loan, it works keneged kolachov. It works corresponding to the entirety of the loan. Shmita will not cancel this loan. Period. The entire loan is still intact according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then what's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi saying? Umay mishamet kam Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. What does Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi mean when he says that Shmita will cancel the loan? It will cancel the part that does not have a mashkon corresponding to it. But the part that does have a mashkon corresponding to it, everyone agrees Shemitah doesn't touch that part, that part of the loan is still going to be intact. And l'chora, they're arguing as follows. Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds that when someone gets partial payment for something, so it's as if he received that money keneged the entirety of it, and therefore by a mashkon as well. If you got a mashkon keneged part of the loan, it's considered as if the mashkon corresponds to the entire loan. Rabbi Danasi suffer keneged kenegdo hu kona. Rabbi Danasi says, no, if it was a $100 loan, I got $50 of a mashkon, so that mashkon corresponds to $50 of the loan. So Shemitah won't touch those $50 of the loan, but Shemitah will cancel the other $50. So there you see, it's a machlokas tanaim, where it's the same exact machlokas that we were discussing yesterday, that when you receive partial payment, let's say to buy karka, you receive partial payment, do we assume that the entire karka has now been nikneis, or only keneged that amount of money that you received? So says Gemara, lo, this machlokas tanaim is not about that. My enum, because we're misunderstanding it. My enum mishamit to come Rav Shmuel Gamliel. When Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that the Shemitah does not cancel this loan, he does not mean it doesn't cancel the loan at all, and that the entire loan remains intact. No. Lahach palga dinokat alem mashkon. He only means the part that you have a mashkon corresponding to, that's what Shemitah won't touch. But Shemitah will still cancel the other half of the loan. And Michal Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi Savlach Palgad Nakhle Mashkon Nami Mishamit. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying Shemitah will cancel the loan in its entirety, even the part that I have a mashkon. I El Mashkon Dinakad Lamalei. But then we're back to the question, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, what's the purpose of the mashkon if Shemitah is going to cancel the whole loan, even corresponding to what I have the mashkon? So it says, well, the Zichron Dvarim Bialma. Sometimes you have a mashkon not as payment of the loan, it's not a collection of the loan, loan, but rather it's just to force the lovet to pay. So the malva is not considered to be holding on to any portion of the chov. He's just considered to be holding on to a pawn that will apply a little bit of pressure on the lovet, because he would like to get his watch back, so he's going to want to pay the loan because he has an attachment to that mashkon that he has by the malva. But it's not considered a partial payment of the loan at all, and therefore it's totally unrelated to the machlokas that we were discussing yesterday. Okay, so that closes up that discussion about partial payment of a loan. Now, we had said in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph that if a person gives money and there was no meshicha, so everyone could be chozer on the mekach. But if you're chozer on such a mekach after money was paid, we discussed that you're mekabel misha para. That's what we were talking about yesterday, what exactly that means, that a person receives a curse of a misha para. Now the Gemara talks about, what about just dvarim? If there were just words that were exchanged, there was some sort of verbal commitment, but there was no actual nesinas ma'os, meaning we agreed to make this sale. So is there anything wrong with backing out on that? So if Kani Yavle Zuze Akitoner, if Kahana sold flax and he received a payment for the flax that he was selling, before he made the delivery of the flax, it went up in value, right? So he already received the payment, but it went up in value. I got a shaila once. Someone told me that they had sold online a basketball signed by a famous basketball player for whatever it was, for $100 or something, and they received the credit card came through, and before they shipped the basketball, that player died in a helicopter crash. So now that basketball that was worth $100 is now worth a lot more than $100 because Kobe Bryant's not signing basketballs anymore. So Shaila was, am I allowed to back out now on that sale? So that's the sugya, right? The money was already paid. Now it went way up in value, so I want to know, can I back out on it? So also came to Rav. So Rav Kana asked Rav whether he could back out on the Mekach. Amalebi Maidin Nikita Zuzay. He says that whatever was paid for, whatever value corresponding to what you got paid for, Havluhu, you have to deliver on that. Meaning, if you were paid for the full amount of the flax, you need to deliver the full amount. If you were paid for half the amount of the flax, you need to deliver half the amount. The idach and the rest of the pishtan that you did not get money for, dvarim ninu. That's just a verbal commitment. Dvarim ninu b'mishum chasrei amana. And you can always back out on that. There's no chashash in backing out on dvarim alone. Some of the Rishonim understand that only according to Rav you're able to back out, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds dvarim yeshva mishum chasrei amana, you're not allowed to back out. Whereas other Rishonim, the Baal Amar says that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, in this case where it went so up in value, you're allowed to back out, and it's not mechusrei amana. So he was telling him that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to all the shitos, that it's not mechusrei amana if it's only been dvarim. You're not considered an untrustworthy person. Di itmar dvarim Rav amar ein b'mishum mechusrei amana. More broadly speaking, Rav holds that when it's only a verbal commitment, and you back out, that's not a violation of mechusrei amana. Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh b'mishum mechusrei amana, and Rabbi Yochanan says it is a very untrustworthy thing to do. And if there's a verbal commitment, you're not allowed to back out. So the Gemara asks on Rav from a Braisa, meaning now that we have this machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether a person is considered to be untrustworthy when he backs out of a verbal commitment, so we're going to have rayas one way or the other. So Meisvei, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Mat Hamud Omer, Hin Tzedek, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Pasuk says that Mosne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Eifa Tzedek, Vihin Tzedek, Yelechem, they should have honest weights and measures. Vahalo Hin Bechlal Eifa Haya, a Hin is a very tiny measurement. So if you have to tell me that even my larger measurements, like an Eifa, have to be Tzedek, that they have to be precise, obviously the smaller measurements where the discrepancy is going to make a bigger difference, you know, if it's off by a bit, so obviously that has to be precise. So why does it have to tell me Hin Tzedek if it already told me that I need an Eifa Tzedek? El lomer l'chashiyeh hein shalucha tzedek v'lav shalucha tzedek. No, what it's telling me is that when I say yes, it has to mean yes, and when I say no, it has to mean no. It means that my word means something, and that therefore it's a mechusrei amana if I don't keep to my word. So therefore it's a kasha on Rav, who holds that dvarim is ein b'mishum mechusrei amana, that you don't have to worry about backing out on your word. So Amar Abaye, Abaye responds, Hahu, Sholi Dabrechon Pevech Belev. No, no, no. When it says Hein Tzedek, that means that at the time that you say yes, you have to mean it. That's not what Rav is talking about. Rav agrees to that. Rav says, you're not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to say yes if you really mean no, or no if you really mean yes. Rav was talking about, you said yes, you meant yes, and then you change your mind. Something changed. So now that you change your mind, is backing out on the commitment based on, you know, the flax went up in price or whatever. So are you allowed to change your mind? That's the chiddush of Rav. So that's not against the drasha of Hein Tzedek. So the Gemara asks on Rav, from somewhere else, that yesterday we have a brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afal Pisha Amru Talis Kona Dinar Zav Ein Dinar Zav Kona Talis. Even though we said that if you do Mashicha on the Metaltalin, so the Kinyan is Chal, and therefore the guy owes the money to purchase that Metaltalin, but if you only hand over the money and you didn't do Mashicha on the Metaltalin, so no Kinyan has happened yet. But Rabbi Shimon says, Mikol Makom Kach Halacha, that while that is the Halacha, Bezin cannot force you to sell the Talis if you've only received the money, but there's no Mashiach on the Talis yet. Aval Amru, but the Chum said, Misha para manshidar mabul, manshidar palaga, who asli para mishayno medbidiburo. That same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that punished all the dishonest people in history is going to punish a person who's dishonest in this sense as well, who's already paid the money, has already been paid the money, and now backs out. So you see from this Brisa that, and then the Brisa goes on to say, it skips the most important part for our purposes, and then it goes on to say that someone who's no save and no sin bedvarim is lo kana, that if it's only a verbal commitment, there's no kinyin. But achozabo ein ruacham nochem, and if you back out on a verbal commitment, the chum are not pleased with such a person. Ooh, so you see that ein ruachamim nochem, and it means he's untrustworthy. That's a kasha on Rav. So the part of the brisa that we don't quote is the part that's a kasha on Rav, right? The part that we're quoting is where money changed hands. That has nothing to do with Rav. Rav was talking about where there was no money, where it was just words. So the hemsheikh of that brisa discussed what happens if it's just words, and it says it's mechusar emana. It says that ein ruacham nochem enu, that you're not a trustworthy person. So answers the Gemara, you're right, that price is against Rav Tanaihi, but maybe it's Machlokas Tanaim, and that price reflects a Shita of Tanaim that Rav doesn't paskin like, and Rav paskin's like a different Shita in Tanaim. Where do we find that there's a machlokas Tanaim, whether Dvarim is Yeshua Mishum Chusra Emana, whether backing out on a verbal commitment is problematic? Ditanan, we have a Mishnah later on in this Masechta. Ma'isav Rabbi Yochum and Masya Sha'amar Lubno, one time Rabbi Yochum and Masya told his son, Tseim Scholan Upolim, go hire workers for us. Halach, so the son went to Pasuk Lemezonos, and he negotiated a deal with the workers, and he said, okay, we'll provide for your Mezonos, getting a lot of Shailas now about people who have people working for them, and they're non-Jewish workers, and they eat chametz. So if I'm supposed to feed them, and you know, someone said, I'm selling all my chametz in the house, but ask you who comes in, she eats the chametz. Is that okay? No, that's not okay. That's stealing. You're not allowed to. Absolutely not. Plus, if you have a chreis, that's problematic on many, many levels. Someone else said, no, I have an aide for my elderly father. He comes in the house. He brings his own lunch every day, and he brings his own chametz. And, okay, so that's a different shaila. Still a problem, but it could be a problem at least. It's a Rabbi Sablowski had a line. He said, even if it's mutter, you spent a month cleaning out the crumbs from your vacuum cleaner, and now you can have a guy walk in with a sandwich into your house on Pesach while you're there. Hard to imagine that's something that should make us comfortable. So anyway, Ukshaba Eitzel Aviv. So he hired these Poalim, and he made a deal with them to provide them with mezonos, to provide them with food. Ukshaba Eitzel Aviv Amar Lo Bani, when he came to the father to tell him, oh, I negotiated a deal. I hired workers, and we're going to be providing them with lunch. So he said, Bini, afilu atosam k'sudashom b'shaitel yitzasidei chavaschim. You hired Jewish workers. Even if you were to make a sudashom b'shaitel, you will not have fulfilled what you're supposed to do in terms of the way a Jew is expected to provide for another Jew to eat. Shein b'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, because they're b'nei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and they deserve to have the greatest suda. The Gemara later on in the Masechta goes through what Daf Peivav, what a Suda Shlomo Melech was. And it's a pretty elaborate Suda. And the Suda Avraham Avinu was even greater, because when the Malachim came, he gave each of them a whole animal. That's a lot to eat. So yeah, so these are B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They deserve more than a Suda Shlomo Melech B'shaito. We can't. What kind of condition is that to make that you're going to provide workers with such a thing? Ela actually Yeshchilu B'Melech. So quick, before they start doing the work, Tzei Ve'Amor Le'em Al Menashe Elokam Alayel Pas Kitnes B'Vad. Go quick and tell them that I'm only going to provide them bread and kidneys. So I guess Daf Yomi coincidence before Pesach, but we could still eat bread and kidneys. So go and tell them that you're only going to provide them bread and beans. So the Yisal Kadai Tach Tvarim Yesh Mishum Chusrei Amana Heicham Leizil Hadabach. But if Tvarim is Mishum Chusrei Amana, meaning if there was a verbal commitment to provide them with Suda Shlomo Melch B'Shaito, how can he go back on that verbal commitment and say, oh, I meant just bread and beans? So says Marno, Shiny Awesome to Paul and Gufayilo Sam Chadatayu. Now the Polim themselves knew that it wasn't a done deal. My time made the Adi Dalav Samach, because they knew that he had to check with the boss, that he was only representing his father, but that he had to clear it with the father. Well, if they knew that he had to clear it with the father, then even if they already started doing the work, he should be able to be chozer on it, because after all, he hadn't cleared it with the father yet. So says Marno, Ischil b'mlach vadi sam chidatayim. Amru meimer amr kamidavu avinichulei. If they started the work, they assume he already has cleared it with the father, and therefore they have a certain sense of smichas das that they're going to be receiving the suda shlomo b'shaito. So then he wouldn't be able to back out anymore. But so long as they haven't started the work, there's not yet smichas das. So the Gemara asks a stira now in Rabbi Yochanan. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that you're not allowed to back out of verbal commitment? And if you do, you're mechusar amana. V'amar Rabbi Rechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Homer l'chaveru matana ninosin lach. If a person says to his friend, I'm going to give you a matana, and he doesn't make any kinyan, yachol lach sabo, he can back out on it. So says Gemara, yachol pshita. Of course, he's able to back out on it. There was no kinyan. Ella muter lach sabo. Rabbi Yochanan holds, don't worry about it at all. It's not even mechusrei amana. Totally mutter to back out. So you see, it's a stira in Rabbi Yochanan whether backing out of a verbal commitment is mechusrei amana. Sans Gemara, Amra Papa, Mother Rabbi Yochanan, Matana Muetes, Tisam Chadai Tayim. Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if the verbal commitment was for a small amount, was for something small, that he'd agree that there's an isra to be chozer on, because the person is so mechdas that you'll actually follow through, since it's not such a big deal. So he thinks he's fairly certain that you're going to follow through, and therefore it's mechusrei amana when you don't follow through. So now the Gemara brings a raya that Rav Papa is correct, that by a matana muetas there's no machlokas, that by a matana muetas even Rabbi Yochanan thinks you're mechusrei amana if you back out. Hachinami mistavra, dam Rabbi Avo, am Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael sha'amar leben Levi, if Yisrael says to a Levi, Kor Meiser Yesh Chabiyadi, that I have a kor of Meiser Rishon that I'm giving to you. Ben Levi Rashi Lasos Chumas Meiser Al Makom Acher. The Ben Levi can turn that into Chumas Meiser for other Meiser Rishon that he has. Meaning a Levi gets 10% of Yisrael has to give 10% of his produce to a Levi as Meiser Rishon. From the 10% that the Levi receives, he's got to give 10% of that for Chumas Meiser to a Kohen. So if a Levi has received 100 bushels of wheat from 10 different Yisraelim as Meiser Rishon, he's got to give 100 bushels of wheat to Trumas Meiser. So he says, you know what, the 100 bushels of wheat that you say you're going to give me, that's going to be Trumas Meiser to cover all my other 900 bushels of wheat that I have from other people. So Yam Bishlam Elomas El Madabe, but if you assume that once the guy promised that he's going to give the Levi that Meiser Rishon, so then this makes sense. Mishumachi Rashai, that makes sense that the Levi can therefore bank on that, rely on that as his Trumas Meiser that he could give to the Kohen. But if you're going to tell me that when a guy just makes a verbal commitment that he's able to back out on it, my Rashai, why would the Levi be allowed to bank on that as his Trumas Meiser? If the guy backs out on it, it's going to turn out that all the Meiser Rishon the Levi is eating is really Tevel, because he hadn't yet been Mafresh Trumas Meisros. So isn't this a Raya? Therefore, that Rabbi Yochanan allows the Ben Levi to be mafresh, that a matan muetes is something that it's also lachzer bo, and that's why the Levi can bank on it, because whatever the kor chitim that he told him that he's going to give him of Meiser Rishon is not so much. It's a matan muetes, especially since he's got to give it to some Levi anyway. So it's a matan muetes because what difference does it make to the Yisrael which Levi he gives it? He's not going to keep it anyhow. So by definition, it's a matan muetes, even if it happens to be a lot of produce. So Gemara, Hachamayaskina, no, it's not a raya that a Matan Muetas Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you can't be Chozer, because Hachamayaskina, in the case that we're talking about over here, is going to Natalo Mimenu, V'chazer V'fkidu Etzlo. Now, the case is Levi already made a kinyan on this, and then he just gave it back to the Yisrael as a pikadon to watch for him. So that's why he can be Somech on it. But in a Chinami, even a Matan Muetas, the guy could still be Chozer, it's just that in this case, he's not going to be Chozer, or in this case, he can't be Chozer because the Levi had already made a kinyan on it. Iach, if we're talking about where the guy already made a kinyan on it, Ema Seifa, it goes on to say, the son of the Ben Levi Acher, Ein Lo Olav El Taromes, that if he then delivers it to a different Levi, the first Levi only has Tainas against him, but he has nothing else other than Tainas against him. Someone pointed out that Ein Lo Olav El Taromes is a raya that in order to have Taromes, in order to have Tainas against somebody, you need a heter, right? Meaning there needs to be something that you're not allowed to just go around with tainas on everybody. You're only allowed to complain about people if there's some sort of compelling reason to complain about them. So he told me he's going to give me the Maaser Rishon, then he gave it to a different Levi. Well, I have no Dine Mamonis claim against him, I just have Taromas against him. But if we're making the Ukimta, that I already was Kona this Maaser Rishon, and I just gave it back to him as a Bikadon. Am I in the level of Taromas? What do you mean I only have tainas against him? He stole my produce, right? It was mine. I made a kinyan on it. So given the mashchei, mamona yisligabei. Once he did a mashich on it, it's his. Elav shmamina b'dolon etalo. It must be that he did not take it from the Yisrael. So shmamina. So Rabbi Yochanan was talking about where there was no kinyan, and therefore we have a raya that a matan muetas. Rabbi Yochanan is moda that it's yeshu mishum chosrei aman if the guy doesn't keep his promise on a matan muetas. So bottom line is we have machlokas whether a person is mechusrei aman if he doesn't keep his word. But if what the word was about something small, then everyone agrees that it's mechusrei amana, that that's problematic if a person doesn't keep his word about something very small. So now the Gemara discusses, let's say I paid money for a mekach, and I didn't yet do a kinyan on it, and then the mocher says, it's not for sale, I back out, I change my mind. So now the mocher still has my money. Until I go and retrieve that money, what level of shmira is the mocher chayiv in that money? Is he yishom sachar, is he yishom chinam? What is he exactly? So there was a guy that bought shumshmi and bought sesame seeds and he paid money for it. And then before he took delivery of the sesame seeds, they went up in value. So Hadrabuhu, the mochrim, decided, we're not selling these sesame seeds. So Amrlay, and they told him, Leslan shumshmi, sorry, we don't want to give you our sesame seeds. Shkol zuzach, come and take your money. You could come any time to pick up the money that you already paid for these seeds. Lo shakal zuze, the guy had not yet picked up the money, and ignov, the money got stolen from the would-be mocher of the sesame seeds. So asal kameh de Rava, they came to Rava to figure out whether the mocherim owed the money. So Amalei, Rava said to the buyer, kivin darmi loch shkol zuzach lo shakilta, lo mi bayu shomer sachdu avi, lo mi bayu shomer chilim namin avi. He told you to come pick it up, and you didn't pick it up. So not only is he not a shomer sachar, he's not even a shomer chinam. Even if he was posheya and it got destroyed because of his own negligence, he's not responsible to pay for that. Tosfos raises the question that over here it sounds like as soon as he tells you to come pick it up, he's completely absolved of any level of shmira. We're going to have later on daf peyam and beis in the Gemara that an uman who finishes working on your kli and he says your kli is ready for delivery, come pick it up whenever you'd like and bring money, that he's chayiv as a shomer chinam on that kli. Why over there is he chayv shomer chinam? He said come pick it up. So as soon as he says come pick it up, shouldn't he be absolved of any shmira? So Tos says no, by an uman it's different because prior to that he was a shomer sachar. So when he says tol shalcha, he's saying now I want you to come pick it up, which means I'm downgrading my level of shmira. But if he started as a shomer sachar, so to downgrade the level of shmira will be shomer chinam. But in our case he didn't start out as a shomer sachar, and therefore the downgrade is I don't want to have any shmira. I'm not mekabel any level of achrayis on this. So Amalei Rabban L'Rava, the Chachamim asked Rava, who was paskening the shayla over here, v'bailuk b'lele mishapara. I paid him money and he backed out on the sale. So he should receive a mishapara for backing out on the sale. He may not owe me the money, but he should receive a mishapara. So Amalei Hachinami said, ein hachinami. If he doesn't want to pay you the money back, he's mekabel mishapara. Look, if he wants to pay you for the money, reimburse you for the money, so that then retroactively it would be as if he never backed out on the sale, then he won't be mekabel mishapara. But if he doesn't want to give you the money back, if he doesn't if the money got stolen and he wants to take advantage of the fact that he doesn't have any responsibilities of a shomer, so he's mekabel the misha parah. Amr of Papi, Amr li Ravina. So Rapapi said, you know, I think you got the story wrong, because Ravina told me the didi Amr li merabanan that he heard from one of the chamim v'rav tavus shmei by the name of Rav Tavus v'armi lo Rav Shmuel bar Zutra shmei, or Rav Shmuel bar Zutra was his name, diyavu yavu le kol chalol di alma. If they would have given that guy that the story happened with all the wealth in the world, the love of Kamishana Bidabure, he was such an honest person, he never would have done something dishonest like that and backed out of a sale. So he got the story wrong. We knew this sesame seed salesman, and he was not the kind of person that as soon as the sesame seeds went up in value, he was trying to cancel all the previous orders. That's not, he got the story wrong. But the story was with me, and it wasn't about being chuzer from a mekach, because if I got money for paying for shumshimin, no way I would be chozer. The ma'isa was that a hu yoma, that day that the ma'isa happened, apani demali Shabbat ahava. It was erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos. Vavi yasivna va'asu gavra v'koya bava. I was sitting in my house getting ready for Shabbos, and this guy comes and he stands by the doorway of my house. Armali isluch shumshimin luzbune, and he asked me, do you have any shumshimin to sell me? So amrilei lo. So I said to him, no, my shop is closed for the day. You know, it's almost Shabbos. I'm not selling any shumshmin. So Amar Li, he said, okay, so I'm not going to buy shumshmin. It's almost Shabbos. I need somewhere to put my money. So I'd like to give you this money as a pikadon. So Amar Li, habeischa kamach. So I said, my house is, take advantage of my house, put it where you want. So if he put it in the house, and then it got stolen from the house. So that's what they came to Rav to ask a shayla. Whether by saying my house is in front of you, is that a Kabbalah Shmira? Does he have the achrayus of a shomer? So Amalei Rav said, kol ha-beisa kamach. Whenever you say such a phrase, beisa kamach, lo mi ba yishomer sachar de lavi, ala filu shomer chinim nami lo havi. You're not a shomer at all. You have no responsibilities of shmir. You're not of a shomer sachar, nor of a shomer chinim. So if Papi continues to quote Ravina after he told him the maisa, Amrilei, I asked him, how can you say that the shayla in front of Rava was about a shmira on money and it wasn't really about a sale of sesame seeds? It just happens to be the guy that would be the shomer on the money is a sesame seed salesman, but it had nothing to do with selling sesame seeds. Wasn't the end of the story that they told him that you're mekabel mishapara if you don't give the money? A mishapara is only if you were selling something and you backed out on the sale. Samali laadam lo yidvar meil. What are you talking about? That never happened. That part of the story is just inaccurate. Someone got the first part of the story wrong, and then they built the second part of the story off of the incorrect first part of the story. So that's not that never happened. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Shakasbi Yodi. So we said Rabbi Shimon says we had learned in the Mishnah that the Tanakama holds that both the Mocher and the Lokeach could be chozer from a Mekach before you do the Meshicha on the actual item. With just giving money, they could still be chozer. There's a Mishpar, but they could still be chozer. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he holds that the Mocher who received the money, he's allowed to be chozer on the Mekach, but the Lokeach who paid the money is not allowed to be chozer on the Mekach. So Tanya, we have a Baisa, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Emasai, when do we say that that there's a din of chazara for someone who gave the money on the Mekach, but he didn't do Meshicha, bizman shakesef haperos b'yad mocher. That's when the mocher received the money for the peros, and the peros are in the rishus of the mocher as well. Aval kesef b'yad mocher, peros b'yad lokeach. For if the mocher has the kesef, and the lokeach has the peros, eni yochalach sabo, then the mocher cannot back out. So the Gemara understands that it means that the lokeach has the kesef. So the Gemara wonders, how can you say that biyado, that it's in the hands of the lokeach? He already paid for it. Biyad mocher hu. What do you mean it's biyado? It's biyad mocher. We just said the case was that it was already paid. El neisha demei kasva biyado. No. What the Braisa means to say is that the mocher cannot back out because the peros, which are meant to be exchanged for the kesef, are in the hands of the lokeach. So Gemara says, well, if the lokeach already received the peros, pshita, obviously he can't back out. That's a kinyan, right? If the lokeach has the peros, so he was kona it. So that's it. That's the end of the story. So Amarava, hachamay skin, another case is, kon sheisai aliyah shel lokeach muskeras biyad mocher. Case was, lokeach has a house, he wants to buy peros, and he has an upper story where for, he has an attic for storage, and he rented out that attic to this mocher. So and now they didn't do a kinyan yet on the stuff in the attic that the lokeach is buying. It's in his own attic, and he's buying it. He hadn't done a kinyan on it yet, but he had already paid for it. Now, if you hold that midal rice and ma'os is konos, why do we assume that midrabban and the rabban were masakin and ma'os should not be kona? It's because gzeir shemun nisrfu chitach ba'aliyah. The mocher is still going to have the produce in his own attic, and when a fire breaks out, he's going to say, "Ah, let it burn. I don't care about it." But if it's in the lokeach's attic, so then you don't have a gezeir of shemun nisrfu chitach ba'aliyah. The lokeach is one that's there. Time might take in rabban and mishicha. Why would the rabban goes, "You need to do mishicha, and you can't rely on ma'os konos"? Is gzeir shemun yomun nisrfu chitach ba'aliyah? But hachav rishus it lokeach, and it's in the lokeach's own rishus. Enough of the deka ba'ones. Iu tarach ma'iti la. So if a fire comes, he's going to take care of it. So Gemara brings a ma'isa where the chacham paskin that the lokeach could be chosur from the mekach as well, meaning against Rabbi Shimon, like the chachamim. Who gavra diav zuzei achamra? There was a guy that gave money for wine, and he didn't do a kinyan on the wine yet. L'sof shamed the kabbai l'mitzvah to be parzak rufila. He later found out that the some important government official was interested in going and confiscating wine from people. So it was a really bad time to buy wine. So the kohen said to the mocher, havli zuzei lo bi inachamra. I'd like a refund of my money. I'm not really interested in the wine anymore. So as the kveder of chista, they went to Rav Chista. Amalei kederek shetiknu mishicha b'mocherin kach tiknu mishicha b'lekuchos. Just like the mocher, the can't pack out just like they were masakin mishicha for the mocher, and therefore the mocher can back out after Nisinas Ma'os, a lokeach could also back out after Nisinas Ma'os, meaning Ma'os, even though maybe Kona Midaraisa, on a Drabban, that's a Machlokas itself, but on a Drabban level, it is not Kona, like the Tanakama, that either party can back out. Now we move on to the Mishnah about Ona'a. So Ona'a is an Isra in the Torah, when the Pasuk says, Al Tonu Isha Sachiv, that one is not allowed to commit Ona'a, one is not allowed to misprice something in either direction, whether I'm a seller and I'm overcharging, or I'm a buyer and I am undercharging. So Ona'a arba kesef. The Ona'a, the Shir Ona'a, is 4 ma'os of kesef. May esim arba kesef lasela. Out of a value of 24, which is shus lemekach, which is 1/6 of the value of the item that you're buying. So if the difference between if there's a difference in that shir, there's a din of that amount, then there's a din of Ona'a. If the difference is less than that amount, so then it's not a din of Ona'a. Then it's a mechila. We assume people are mochel less than that amount. If it's more than that amount, it's not Ona'a, it's bitul mekach. The whole sale is going to be canceled. Ad masay mutul achzir. And until when can the lokeach who was cheated, who was overcharged, claim his Ona'a? Ad kedeshiyir alatagar alakrovo. He has to have enough time to go home and show it to someone who would know what the right price for it is, and therefore come back with a proper taina. Har Rabbi Tarfon b'Lud. Rabbi Tarfon had a different psak in Lud. Hona shmona kesef me'asam yarba kesef l'sela. He said Ona'a is not 1/6, but it's 1/3. Shlish l'mekach. The merchants of Lud were overjoyed because they enjoyed overcharging people by a sixth, a fifth, a fourth, and that's fine now, as long as it's less than a third that they're overcharging by. So Rabbi Tarfon said, yeah, but I also have another shita, that kol yom utulach, so that he's allowed to be chozer all day long. It's not only just the amount of time that it would take him to run quickly to an expert and get an assessment to come back. He could be chozer all day long. So the Tagri Lud said, yaniach lanu Rabbi Tarfon b'mkomenu, we'd rather if Rabbi Tarfon never spoke on this topic, we'd rather stick with the shita of the chamim, meaning the trade-off is not worth it from that was involved over here. So itmar, so we have machlokas in the base marriage as follows. Rav Amar Shus Mekach Sheninu. Rav says that it's the Mishnah says Shus Mekach, that the Shir of Ona'a is 1/6 of the value of what the Mekach is actually worth, not 1/6 of the money that you paid for that mekach. That's how we assess the fraction that we use as Ona'a. The baseline is what you paid. The baseline is what it's worth. That there's Ona'a in measuring 1/6 of the money that you paid, not only in the value of what it's worth. So shavishita b'chamsha, if a person sold an object that's worth 6 for 5, so the mocher was the one that was cheated, he got too little money, he didn't get enough money, money for it, or Shavishita b'shiva, or something that was worth six, and he overcharged, he charged seven for it. Everyone agrees that you can use the fraction as the actual value of the item as a basis for the fraction, and that's considered ona'a. Ki pligi, the machlokas is shavi chamsha b'shita, if it was worth five and someone paid six, or shavi shiva b'shita, it was worth seven and someone paid six. Can you measure the ona'a based on the value that was, the amount that was paid? So the Shmuel Damar Basar Mala says, linan idivido ona'a havi, according to Shmuel, that you could look at the money, yeah, that also is ona'a. But the Rav Damar Basar Mecha Chazlin, and according to Rav, that you look at the value of the item and not at what was paid, shavi chamisha b'shita, bitul mecha havi. So if it was worth five and you paid six, that's more than 1/6 of a difference from the value of the actual item, and therefore it's a bitul mekach. And shavi shiva b'shita, if it was worth seven and he paid six, mechila avya, then it's less than 1/6, and that's therefore a mechila. So that's the machlokas. When looking for the baseline to measure the fraction of ona'a, do we for sure can look at the value of the of the mekach. Question is, can we also look at the amount of money that was paid and a fraction of that? And that's what Shmuel holds. Beis Hashem will elaborate on that starting tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.